Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Dirty 30 Wrap Up Podcast for episode 11. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing great, per usual. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing pretty good, per usual. Can't quite reach the great status, but I'll take what I can get.
Well, I'm great because I've recently checked in on our reviews. My operation to get us to 200 reviews at all, not even 5 stars. But huge shout out to everyone who showed up this week to give us some love. Columbia 5000, Scarvo, Mackenzie, Beyonce, sure. Harms, and Hanzarelli. Really appreciate it. If you want to help Brian go from pretty great to great, or pretty good. I don't even listen when you answer the question. That's so terrible.
That's what I do. Come on, that's my move.
Yeah. You can go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We really, really appreciate it. As we head into episode 11, and no fewer people. Well, one more person has left the house.
But I think more people are coming back, because apparently there was another mention of like the fifth redemption house. So this is just this. I know we joke this will like go on for the rest of the year, but I legitimately think the finale is going to be around Christmas.
Do we think that Jemmy just dreamt about the redemption house, or is that confirmed?
I feel like they would do it again. I mean, I guess Nelson wouldn't be in it. I guess getting sent home is different than being eliminated. But I imagine in 2 weeks when we actually have this elimination play out, we'll see them go to the redemption house.
It's crazy that we're at episode 11 and the season shows no sign of slowing down. But I like this episode. I think we will get to the controversies at the end of it ending when it did. But on the whole, I thought this was a decent episode.
I thought it started slow. I wasn't as into the challenge, but I agree. The end was like what you want from the challenge. This was good old fashioned challenge drama, which is very, very pleasant to see after the last couple of weeks.
Well, I love the challenge, this challenge. So I think it's interesting you didn't like it. So let's dig into it. I thought the best opening of any episode so far is when the women are chatting about whether or not these men are attractive, and how the resolution Jenna comes to is like a lot of them might be cute if you didn't know them, which is an incredible assessment of most of the people I know in my life.
It's so true, because if you're just so like absorbed in this world and you get to know someone at such a deeper level, you're just bound to hate them. So there you go.
Yeah, but will you hate them as much as Hunter's girlfriend seems to hate Hunter?
I gotta say, I didn't know why they started doing these like random phone calls from home, but I think it's one of the best additions they've actually done in a while, just for like the randomness of the fact that they're allowed to talk to people outside of the house and what it could bring.
I mean, I think we're only seeing it this time because they need to fill time. Like, I mean, the Derek conversation is adorable. The Dara and Ashley conversation is very whatever. But I don't think that this is the first time they've been able to do this. We just haven't seen it, because we've seen it when it's mattered. Like the Zach Jenna phone call comes to mind.
I guess so. But I have to imagine it has to be a fairly new thing. After all these years, finally there's stuff to show. I feel like they've always been doing this, and then, or they haven't been doing this, and then they just recently added it.
I don't know that there hasn't been. I still don't think there's stuff to show, like this episode with Hunter. But, you know, the conversation with Derek's son is adorable, but that's not something to show. This is the first season that they've literally dragged out every single episode to be a 300 episode season.
That's true. But give me the calls from back home over Anissa and Corey going on a double date. So
100%.
I prefer that.
No, and I've liked this bit. I think this was strange. We've seen Hunter be overly emotional about the game. I don't know that on Are You the One or his stints on the challenge we've seen this level of emotion. Ashley Bedazzlewit says, is Hunter being a bit extreme with this whole I want to marry you crying thing? If he was trying to get with Kayla on the last challenge, I'm assuming they haven't been together for that long.
Yeah, I mean, the way he was reacting, if you just like walk, like you would have thought someone died. Like, I understand, like, I can imagine, like, breaking up in that situation is tough. But like you said, like, how long could this relationship have possibly been going on for? At most, only a couple months.
Well, I thought he said it was 3 months, but I guess it was 6 months. Our friends in the patron group reminded me that it was 6 months. But, I mean, it was, like, very intense and, like, not even a second thought. Like, he's getting on the phone saying, like, I miss my best friend. I love you. And she's, like, clearly breaking. When you get hit with an awe after almost anything, it's a bad sign. But especially after I love you and I miss you.
I just love the fact they don't even do these calls in private. Like, they heard Hunter like starting to cry, and like the entire cast just ran to like the roof to like listen in and like find out what was going on.
Yeah, then he's automatically saying he's going to leave, like he would marry her as soon as he gets back. Like, this was like pretty upsetting. I don't blame Hunter for this portion of his reaction, right? Like, the I'll do anything to keep you reaction. It's a guy in love with his girlfriend who really got shafted. I mean, this is a terrible, besides what happened with Tijana, this is like a very, very terrible way to exit a relationship. Without being able to speak in person, no regular form of communication. I mean, I imagine these phone calls are limited. He can't just be on the phone with her for 24 hours. Just kind of a brutal move from his ex. But I'd like to say I don't blame her, but like she got into the relationship. So
yeah. It's also just like quite bizarre. Like, I don't know what would have sparked it. I mean, it's not like he was hooking up with someone that it would have leaked unless they were hooking up private and it leaked or something. Like, it's very bizarre that, I mean, I guess because he's been gone for like so long, that maybe she's like, I thought this was only supposed to be like a 3-week thing. Why are you still there like 2 years later?
Maybe there's a Mr. Steal Your Girl on the premises. Who knows?
There you go.
Not only shitty guys can cheat, you know?
Everyone's shitty. Everyone suck.
True. I totally disagreed with Kayla saying like this should be the last thing you're worrying about on a challenge. Like, let's have Mikey B or whatever your boyfriend's name is call you up and dump you, and I'm sure you'd be worried about it.
Yeah, if anything, thinking about people from back home was what keeps people grounded in the house. So that's kind of exactly what you should sometimes be thinking about. So I don't know what she was talking about there.
Kayla has spent more time worrying about her relationship with Corey on these seasons of the challenge than most have worried about their exes and stuff back home. So pipe down.
Normally I'm on Kayla's side, but this was just like a unnecessary shot that she had to take. But, you know, if you're in a rivalry with someone, you might as well fire shots when they're down. So,
well, I've never heard that iteration of the phrase. You might as well kick someone while they're down. I don't know if that's how it goes.
I mean, if they hit you, they can't. They're not going to more hate you. I guess they could, but if they already hate you, just kind of keep going.
I want to hear why you hated this challenge, because I remember like actually enjoying the levels of thought in this challenge more than I usually do.
I thought the idea of it would have been really cool, but I think they got too into the fact of making it super high up. I think if this challenge, like those like beams or whatever, were like 10 feet off the ground and it was a little bit easier to just get on each of the platforms, I think it would have been cooler because of the fact they had them going at the same time. Like, when you're that high up, no one's just going to start like shoving people off and stuff like that. Like, that's, unless you're Jordan Miller. But other than that, like, you're not, that's just not the way this is going to go down. And the way TJ like built it up, it's like, well, you're definitely going to cross paths here. Like, they made it seem like it was like that hall brawl challenge, but like in the air, but that was not going to happen. This is just a normal, like getting across platforms over a high in the water.
That's fair. We definitely didn't get the payoff of the brawl aspect of it, but I wasn't even that excited about it when they announced that challenge. I don't know why. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I think it would have been interesting. I do think that little bit of Jordan, Camilla, confronting each other, and also the risk that Jordan would be confronted by Hunter was interesting. So I'll co-sign that I would have, maybe it would have been better if there was actual conflict. But other than that, I thought this is a really interesting challenge. And you could see the way that the filming was done was so fantastic that you can like see why people effed up. Like, usually in these challenges, I don't know what you'd need to do to grab onto a bell in 30 feet in the air. But like, you see Tony, who is like an obvious pick, and we'll get to like how they pick teams. But like, because he's tall and you think height is of an advantage, but really you're more advantaged by like thinking before you act, which Tony's not good at. But Tony just like made too big of a leap to be able, like, as Derek, I think, described, that you want to be able to like jump far and land lightly or something like that. And that's, mm-hmm. You can really see, like, if you can't just grab on, you really have to like hit the ledge. And I just thought being able to understand the, I don't know, physics, mechanics, what have you, of the challenge, to me, made this a more enjoyable one than the usual up in the air ones.
Yeah, I mean, there was this interesting strategy in terms of like, you try to get all your people across. I did like, in theory, what Banaz and Hunter were trying to do. Is like, all right, well, they only got two, so if we just go quickly ourselves, then we'll just win, and so we'll have the best time. So I did like the fact that there was interesting strategy to go along, but I'm also just not a fan of challenges that when someone fails, it's not like, oh, they like really blew it. Like, I'd rather, like, it's almost just too too hard. I'd rather it be easier, where if someone like flames out, it's like a big deal that, oh, wow, they didn't get across. But if like half the teams are flaming out, then it's like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I also picked up on that I also thought it was interesting that Derek and Johnny decided to do that. And I found myself like thinking about it, like what's the better move? Cause it is kind of a cocky move, but you've had the advantage of seeing two teams go, and like your best chance at this stage, you haven't seen a female complete the challenge, is getting two guys who are usually pretty adept. You know, it's not like a weaker guy. It's Derek and Bananas, two of the best guys in the game right now. Like you can maybe outplay Hunter and CT. And it led to, I think Bananas' fall is maybe the best fall I've seen. Certainly this challenge, maybe ever, like barring the Siobhan aftermath of her breast popping. But like Bananas hit that water like a body bag.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised there weren't like injuries. Usually when those type of falls happen in this challenge, is like usually an ambulance shows up. There's some bruised ribs. There's like Tony dying. There's all usually things that happen. I'm surprised that no one really got injured.
I was also surprised, and this is maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever said, but were you at all disappointed that the bells didn't ring?
I don't even think I even noticed.
I wanted like a big like dong dong and you jumped and I was like, oh, the music's too loud, I can't hear the bells. And then I was like, oh, these aren't actually bells.
To each their own. Some people go to the challenge for bells. You never know what might please someone in an episode.
I just thought it would be like, it would add like a Big Brother element, right? It would be like so ridiculous that you're like jumping onto these big cowbells that as you swing are like dong, 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 dong. I'll start doing bell impressions.
They should have put the Rob bell up there just to give that a thing.
Well, what an interesting shape that would be to jump on.
Exactly. So what did you make of So Hunter and Issa, for some reason, Chan's loves giving people just comeback power. So they were two captains. They had to pick two other captains. They picked Brittany and Nelson.
Walking it back quickly, I thought this was a better power to give than when they gave Joni and Tori. What? Tony and Jenna. Just because it was like it was like securing that you wouldn't be in the bottom. Because if other people, if it were four other people, presumably, I mean, who knows what would have happened? I think Anissa and Hunter, people might have tried to strategize, put them in the bottom unless Nelson was a captain. And so this sort of ensures like a little bit of protection for the people who have already been voted out, but it doesn't give them complete control of all the teams. Like I thought they're going to say, all right, you two decide all four teams.
Yeah, I think that would have been too much power. I think the way they did it is just about right. So it gives them some power, but it's still like it doesn't like have them dictate everything. But for me, I mean, maybe this is a little bit 2020 hindsight, but I'm not sure why Hunter wanted Nelson to be on a different team. Wouldn't, if you're in a super like minority alliance, which they clearly are, wouldn't you want to like be, you might as well just stack your guys together. So if you win, you're just all in and you have the power. Otherwise, because no matter what, probably one of them is going to be tossed in.
Yeah, it's like sort of the Bananas picks Hunter strategic thinking, but in reverse. I don't know. I think, yeah, at that point, you might as well put all of your eggs in one basket because you just have so few people, whereas Bananas had a little bit more room to kind of squeak around and to rely on his other teammates. That is interesting. I was more surprised by Anissa's pick.
Just like screwing over Veronica?
Yeah, I mean, Shelby Heinmiller said, did Anissa make a bad choice by not selecting Veronica for her team or as a captain? I thought you had the best opportunity here to save Veronica while not like weakening your team if you think she's a weak competitor.
Yeah, 100%. She should have been the other captain instead of Brittany. I understand if you think Veronica's weak, then you don't want her on a team. But yeah, then this is perfect, because they also, you want another team to be weak and you don't have the weak person on your team. So it's a win-win.
I also thought about that. Like, should you make the other two captains weaker to ensure that you have at least a 50% better chance of winning? Like, if you made the captains like Jemmy or Veronica, and it's tougher with the guys, definitely. Nelson probably wasn't a bad pick in terms of like the field.
Yeah, unless my theory of just, you might as well just have him on your team.
Right. Well, then who's the other guy you put in place?
Probably make it Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Or in this case, Dario, who's left for the end. So were you surprised by any of these picks here or Dario being left for the end?
No, because, I mean, Dario's not, he's not like the top of the law, top of the line guy. And he's also not really that close to anyone. I mean, he's, I think he's like friendly with people, although I guess with maybe with Leroy, he's like super close. But other than that, like, it doesn't seem like he has that strong a bond that someone would go out of their way to pick him. So I mean, that's kind of the risk you play when you're kind of just trying to float by and these types of things, you might just get forgotten.
Yeah, I think Dario was the clear like last choice pick here, even above Tony, because Tony, like, you got to go height all day. Like, Tony, you think in this challenge, just looking at it, I would have agreed with the way people made picks that, or at least Brittany's last pick, that you take height over Dario, and Dario doesn't compensate for not being as tall in any way. Like, Derek isn't that tall, but he compensates. Like, you know, he's going to outperform taller people. Dario yeah. shows no potential of that. So there's no advantage, in my opinion, picking him. But I loved, finally, first of all, I love CT's analysis of Hunter. Like, that was just this like gruff, grumbly, like assessment, like, this young buck, he's hungry, looks like a pit bull. Like, I loved that.
CT had a phenomenal episode. Just like his assessments, his like commentary throughout. Like, I don't want to say someone could replace TJ, but CT could be the one to do it. Just the way he has just commanded this season.
I mean, add it to the list of his like amazing episodes. Like, CT, Dad CT is back and better than ever. But I did appreciate, finally, we've been complaining week after week that they don't give us the backstory for these grudge matches. I do a podcast on the show, and I needed a little bit of a refresher on what the hell was going on with Hunter and Kayla, because while it was an issue at the beginning of Invasion, who gives a shit about it? You know, like, I still don't care about their grudge match, but I finally appreciated that, okay, this is the episode their hatred's going to explode. We're going to get them explaining the backstory of why. Thank you, MTV, finally.
Yeah, and I think even later on, pretty sure they mentioned the fact about Hunter and Brittany being on the same Aria the One season, right? So it's kind of good that they're finally acknowledging people's past at how they connect with each other.
Did she say the Aria the One season? I thought she was just like establishing their relationship. Like, I'm always going to be with Hunter. I'm on Hunter's Alliance. I like was waiting for the show to drop and I didn't. But maybe I missed it. But yeah,
maybe
that too.
Maybe I read those, all of it into it, and she didn't actually say the words.
It's good enough. It's better than what we've got.
Yeah.
What we've got.
Yeah. It's better than just finding out like two people are best friends from like their deep history that, oh, okay.
Yeah. Leah Knight says, on paper, which team did you think would be the strongest? Did any team surprise you in how they did?
I thought CT and Hunter. I mean, like, when you have a team, they're like a good counterbalance, and any team with CT on it, I thought would do pretty well.
I was kind of surprised that Camilla was Hunter's first pick, first female pick overall. But like, I still think I would go Kara over Camilla, despite performance. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, I agree. I think Hunter, Camilla, CT, and Kayla are probably the strongest team across the board. Like, they don't really have a weak link, or someone you'd presume to be a weak link when you're starting out. But, you know, couldn't get it done. Or they didn't. They won. Wait, what am I thinking? They won.
They did. I mean, that's the thing about this cast. It's like, it's not like a weak cast. Like, a lot of the people are good competitors. Like, I mean, if you think of who are like the weakest people, it's like Anissa and Jemmy, who in any other season would be like in the middle, or not Anissa, Veronica, who would be like probably in the middle, or could even like do very well on certain things. So it's not like there's a lot of super dead weight that's just floating out there.
Brittany, Jordan, Tori, and Tony maybe surprised me by doing like the hands down, or I guess I expected more from them than Nelson's team. And maybe it's because Tori and Brittany are new and haven't done something to this level. I think these like 30 feet in the air, like agility challenges, I think definitely favor people who have done something like this before. Just like takes the fear out of it, takes the like, you know, I don't know if your daily life, how it goes, Brian, but I've never done this like day to day.
That's my Thursday night. I don't know what we're talking about here.
I have on good authority you told me you were free Thursday night to record this podcast. So. Bullshit.
Boom, got me. But yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. Like, one, you, the biggest fear in these things is the fall. But if you fall so many times, you kind of just know what to expect. So
what do you think of this move from Jordan? Are you surprised that he didn't get any blowback from this fake out?
A little surprised. I mean, I think he made it good enough that it wasn't super clear. I did find it super odd that when his team, like when all of his people were going, not to be mean, but he was like reaching out for them with his like non-hand hand. Like, I don't know why that was like his move. Like I found that kind of weird.
Well, I think you need your hand to grip the bell. And like, that's him staying on is more important. And like, if they can grab his arm, at least they can contribute back.
Yeah. I mean, he could always have used that as an excuse for Camilla. Like, oh, I just, you know, it slipped.
What was absolutely incredible was Derek lifting Jenna up with one arm. And Jenna and Derek are probably not that far off in weight, given like height. Like, I'm not saying Jenna's like close to Derek's weight, but like, this is like at least 3/4 of his own body weight with one arm. That was unbelievable.
This is why everyone wanted to see Derek back, because he's just an insane, like, you know, like how CT described Hunter as a pit bull. Derek is the original pit bull. That's what he is.
But credit to Jenna. Jenna is the only female to make it across. I will say, I think the success of the teams really did depend on how well the rest of the teammates helped you. Like, not Jenna, just Jenna, like and obviously not Jordan, who just made across on his own. But like, there were teams that definitely like left their other team members for dead, whereas like Derek really made sure hand in hand to get Jenna across. So I think that was sort of an underrated component of this challenge.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a team, like, you had to work as a team, and it's all about getting in a flow. Like, once people got the first couple of them, that's when they really were able to get into a role. Usually if people fell, they fell early.
No, good point. And I will say my jaw dropped about as wide open as Anissa's when Bananas took a shred of responsibility for the loss, even though I don't think it fell on his shoulders.
I just love how Anissa like cut him off like mid speech, and he like already had his pre-planned joke going in, and like when he went back to talking, he had to finish his joke about like the shitting as much as like in the Columbia or whatever, like whatever his joke was, he had it pre-planned and he just had to get it out there.
That's why we don't come in with pre-written bits, you know.
Nope.
That's why we're unscripted, unlike Bananas.
We get real.
We're definitely stopped being polite a long time ago, so that works. I will say, when Hunter's team was celebrating, I thought there was a chance here. I saw some sparks flying between CT and Hunter. I don't necessarily think that that's off the table. I just think, you know, CT has his loyalty order, and I don't think he will be quick to toss Hunter in, but if anyone, or he would be the one to suggest it, but if somebody else suggested, he'd go with it. But I'm like, ooh, maybe there's hope. Old wounds are healing, young and new, building respect for each other. Even maybe Kayla and Hunter could squash this. No, completely wrong. No chance.
Yeah, man, not when alcohol is in this house, and it is going to play a big factor. That ends like a lot of reconciliations.
Alcohol's getting a bad rap this season.
But alcohol amongst like these group of people, it ends poorly most of the time.
Defending alcohol. No, that's not a position
I'll have. Go to bat for alcohol also, but I'm not in the challenge house. I'm not going on that. I'm not dying on that anti-stance either.
I'll go to bat for alcohol also. Where's the merch? Where's our merch?
Oh my god, these people.
Yeah, no, I think alcohol abuse needs to get a bad rap, but alcohol enjoyed responsibly, I'm on board.
Which one is drink responsibly?
What do you mean, which one?
Which brand is that their slogan? I was trying to get one to get a sponsor for us.
Drink responsibly. I thought they just like put that on everything.
No, I think that's someone specific. Yeah, I'm Googling.
We have nothing but time.
As your keyboard is going faster, so I'm going to assume you're already Googling.
Drink responsibly campaign. Let's look. People are going to get pissed, so you know I want to do it.
Pissed.
So I think drink responsibly is a campaign shared by, like, it's its own campaign.
I thought it was like specific. Never mind. Okay.
We'll get back to you guys next week. And yeah, we're poorly researched on the drink responsibly campaign. Can't account for what's going to come up.
Yep.
All right, in on alcohol, out on alcohol abuse. That's our official stance.
It's a controversial one, I know.
We're about as sure about that as CT is about wanting to put in the bottom two performers, which are just determined by the team captains of Veronica and Dario. What do you make of that strategy?
I question, did CT see Jemmy jump? I mean, she barely got off the ground.
he did mention it later in the actual deliberation that, like, or no, I think he said it here, like, Anissa's not the person he would even pick last anymore. And Veronica, and I think he did throw Jemmy in there, that, like, if Veronica were to go in this week and go home, Jenny would maybe be next on the radar. But yeah, just, I mean, not getting picked is worse.
Yeah. I think if you're looking pure, like, physical, I think Jemmy is the weakest. But I think Jemmy, in, like, certain scenarios, would do pretty well. Like, in the type of the puzzles or stuff like that, she usually does pretty well there.
And I do think Veronica is being underestimated physically based on what we've seen. Like, I actually don't think she would have been the worst at this challenge. Like, maybe in, like, a pure foot race or something. But, like, I think based on her history, like, she has the ability to get through something like this, at least at the same level as the women who were non-Jennas.
Yeah. No, 100%. Definitely.
What, like, I just want to talk about this budding bromance between CT and Hunter, and CT trying to pepper in these, like, you're lucky she was on your team, like, saying to the camera that, like, the problem with people who don't win a lot is that they get a taste of power and, like, screw it up. Like, do you think that CT has the ability to be a guiding force in Hunter's potentially short-lived challenge life?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, kind of the challenge version of the Big Brother program. I mean, hopefully Hunter doesn't go down the same exact path as CT went, because I'm sure there were many bumps along that road. But if you can get to, like, this version of CT, then he's doing pretty well.
Wouldn't you like to be a big brother to someone like me? What is, anyway, that's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And poorly quoted Seinfeld at that. So
no, I think that's right on.
So Kayla, the new prophet of this episode, instead of Jemmy last episode, predicts that some crazy shit is going to go down on this night out.
She's to be very clear, it usually happens. Like, it's not, like, a full claim.
Yeah, it's like picking bananas as the winner of a season. Like, okay, yeah. good, probably a good choice.
Yeah.
But this was a little hard to watch.
Oh, I think this is exactly what the challenge, like, this is challenge drama to, like, the T. Like, it's just, like, unresolved sexual tension. People getting drunk, they're just throwing shades at it, shots at each other. It's not getting anything to, like the deep racist or set. Like, this is just challenge people being idiots. I thought this was fine.
Oh, no, I'm in hard to watch because I absolutely can't stand Hunter. Oh, okay, sorry. My mistake, given the season. I totally take that back. Hunter just, like, this is what was so hypocritical about it. And, like, duh, obviously it's a challenge. And, like, I'm a hypocrite. Everyone's a hypocrite. Hunter is like, I could never be so cruel as to say that I hate the sound of someone's voice, but then goes on to say F her and she's a terrible person. And then, which is much worse than hating the sound of someone's voice. And then, yeah, the call outs were just I don't really think Hunter has a leg to stand on to say that Kayla hasn't proven herself. Like, she won two eliminations. And I did love her saying, like, you lost an elimination. Yeah. But it was a pretty sweet burn to bring in Corey. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, I thought it bolts. I think Hunter, the shots about Corey were funny. But I mean, it's all going back to the fact that just Kayla scorned him. And now he's just like a little puppy dog that wants to, like, get back at her.
Yeah. And we have the unresolved anger issues of the ex, like, you know, whatever. But what I didn't know how to feel about is the segment we get from Brittany. Shelby Heinmiller says, did we love the Britney confession or did we love the Britney confession?
So what about just, like, taking Hunter's side?
You
say when she was rambling about Kayla. That's funny. I was in on it. I mean, I think it's kind of weird to, like, be mad about someone shit talking and going around shit talking them. But I mean, this is Britney from Are You the One. This is what she does.
Yeah, she's crazy. I thought the Kayla shares panties with Jenna is a funny thing to ask them about, if that's the case. Punch her in the throat. Like, you know, whatever. I think Britney pulls it off because she looks the way that she does and she's got the accent and she's funny about it. But, you know, do better.
Like, can you imagine? I mean, she has the crazy eyes. Like, she's like that perfect, like, level of, like, hot crazy scale.
Yeah, I'll put in, though, like, if we had Bananas doing confessional, I don't like the bitch, I want to punch her in the throat. So she pulls it off probably for the wrong reasons. I do love the camera saying they're out of tape. I'd like to know how this is filmed, because I didn't think, I thought that was just like a, it's not me, it's you way to get out. Like, oh, I have to wash my hair. I left my oven on. Brittany, we're out of tape. Please get the hell out of here.
I would lean more towards the very latter of that. Just get the hell out of here.
Right. Same kind of excuse, though. Yeah, I don't know. Brittany, I think, is showing this episode sort of why people wanted Brittany on the challenge. I think there's more interesting stuff to come from her. She had some good, besides this confessional, like, I did love when she's, like, talking about how hot it was that Derek, like, lifted Jenna up. Like, she is good comic relief to cut to normally.
And they're a thing now, right?
Yeah, so we talked about this last episode, question mark. It all blends together when you do 15 episodes about the same people and no one leaves. It's, like, unconfirmed. Like, they kissed on some video, and, like, they both, like, have a tremendous amount of respect and love for each other. My instinct is they're together, but I don't know that that's been, like, 1,000% confirmed.
Well, this is the spark. Who knew? Just lifting Jenna up. Boom. So you start a relationship.
Just lifting up, like, a 6-foot model who's muscular as hell, 30 feet in the air with one arm as you dangle from a non-ringing bell? Come on.
Okay, let me rephrase. Oh my God, when you lift Jenna up, that's how you start a relationship. That's what it takes to get a girlfriend. You have to lift Jenna up. No other chances you can do it.
Let's get a soundboard that has you raise me up just in the, like, 1% chance this ever comes up again, because I'd love to be playing that right now.
Okay. One of these days we'll get our soundboard.
Yeah. All right, so we get another, like, little counseling session with CT, which is really a masterclass in doing the challenges from a social game perspective. Kari Dalia wants to know, is there a better challenge character than the dad version of CT? He narrates well, he's hilarious, and so knowledgeable.
Ah, this is peak CT. This is the best.
Peak T.
Nah, fail.
Tried. Yeah, I do agree, though, with his rationale here. Like, this, and this is, like, what I was feeling, that there would be, like, old wounds healed by the challenge. And one of the advantages in being in this sort of, like, free agents format setting is that you're going to work with different people all the time and can start, like, building bonds that you maybe wouldn't have built otherwise in another format. And, like, CT is saying, like, you should have said, like, you did great today, and I know we don't get along. And if you're wondering why you get thrown under the bus every week, like, this is why. It's because you act like this. And Hunter, in classic bullshit fashion, is like, but it's just the girls, so it's okay. And CT's like, girls run the show. Cue sound drop of Who Runs the World, girls. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, CT, like, this is so true. Like, you look at what's happening now in the deliberation later. They, like, CT and Hunter are torn, and it's going to come to the girls, and they like CT better, so they're going to default to his vote.
Yep. Yeah, it shouldn't come with having to do, like, many challenges to learn that you should be, like, nice to the other gender, but apparently that's what it takes on the challenge. You learn that, like, oh, wait, maybe only my friends aren't the ones that can help me in the show. I need to be nice to everyone.
And it's not even just the girls in this. I mean, this was, like, a weird moment for Hunter, but, like, just in general, like, this could have been, I think he does a little bit of a better job with Derek and CT than, say, Nelson would have. But he's not, like, paying that same respect to the rest of the majority.
Right. Someone else who doesn't pay respect to the majority is Nelson.
Does that come across the mic?
I heard it loud and clear. This dude needs to learn to go to sleep. Like, he's got his pajamas on for a reason. Just go to sleep.
Well, he was going to sleep before Derek got all up in his face.
Yeah, Derek. All up in his face. All up. Not like they have cameras capturing a reality TV show.
And where the hell is Nelson on this now? Like, jumping to the social media segment, he really said nothing about this. And then, like, I'm basically nothing. And we're not even getting a confessional. At least, like, with Tony, we're getting a confessional of, like, I've ruined my family's lives. Nelson, still in his confessional, is like, I was just trying to go to sleep. Like, Nelson is still buying his own bullshit.
Man, he was like, 5 minutes changed my entire life. Dude, I mean, him and Hunter, they just get so dramatic about these types of instances, no matter what's going on. It's like, I love them being so passionate about the show, but, like, maybe it's, that's your, like, your problem is you're so passionate about the show. Coming from someone who's passionate about the show.
His Achilles heel is caring about the challenge. No, I think someone truly passionate about the show, like, isn't isn't doing shit like this. Like, Nelson, this is like Nelson's eighth like random ass eruption on a night out. And it's just like, it makes no sense. It comes out of nowhere. It's very Camilla-esque from the Leroy issue. It's just like, you're drunk and you're angry and you're going to start shit with someone. Fine. If you're really passionate about the show, don't throw a punch.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny how those two instances like started kind of the same way. Someone just like randomly like going off and someone else overhearing and it just like exploding from there.
Well, this really,
to a much lesser extent, but still.
This really pissed me off when we get to the deliberation, which I noticed was like 2 seconds before the end of the episode. I couldn't believe this is where they're going to cut it. But CT says, like, OK, it's hard for me to not want to say Nelson after what happened last night. And I'm sitting there where Hunter's in a position where he's just like, his defense is like, I can't say Nelson, so I'm going to say Jordan. And he's like not campaigning at all. What he needs to do here is say Camilla did the same thing, if not worse. And she sits here scot-free. Are you going to next time, right in front of Camilla, CT, next time Camilla doesn't win, are you putting her in because of her actions or no? Like, that's what I would say right there. Are we going to give Camilla a free pass that we're not going to give Nelson because you are a fair weather, you know, social person, like social justice person? Or are you going to say this was also wrong and next week, Camilla, if you don't win, I'm putting you in because of your actions? Like, I just wish Hunter had the wherewithal to say, like, or the thinking to say something like that.
Yeah, that's why we really got screwed with Devin being knocked out so early, because he's like that type of person who'll say anything in the moment to keep himself alive. He has the smarts to kind of play whatever card he can dealt. Hunter doesn't know he even has cards in his hand, so he just goes by like the, oh, I'm just gonna compete and win my way back and do the honorable thing or whatever. But that's why we need someone like Devin, who on that side can like mix things up mentally.
No, totally agree. Devin actually is, I didn't think about that, but that is what Devin, I mean, Devin would probably say something better in the moment, but like Devin is the one most capable of like actually advocating verbally for himself in that sort of deliberation in a way that Hunter can't, hope to. But Leah Knight says Camilla was on the winning team again this week and looks to be on a strong team next week. So does this mean she's going to skate on by with no repercussions for her actions like we thought?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell because like she's barely been on the last couple of weeks, but it seems to me like it's already been forgotten. Like they're laughing and joking with her, they're hugging her. Like it seems to me like everyone's just cool with her now. At least on the show. Obviously, on social media, people can take their stand, but I think it's more clear what happens on the show. And so far on the show, they're all buddy buddy with her still.
And I can't remember if we said this last week, but we definitely didn't talk about it, that Camilla was cast on the Champs versus Pros or whatever next time. But after that, now there are reports that she's banned because she like punched a producer and had like another torrential downpour of a meltdown. So people on social media might be reacting more to like that part, which is ridiculous too.
I believe she's banned when she's never on the show. But we'll see. I guess they did hold true to their other band of Kenny and Evan. So
I did see that, she posted like she's doing another challenge, but this one's different. And I was like, OK, it was like a tweet to Instagram. So it's like, boom, I'm going to get a long ass Instagram post finally of like her explaining that she's been banned and da da da. And it was just about her like Camillinator challenge of like working out and trying to get money from people who hate her right now.
The way she's trademarked, like doing pushups or whatever, like all these other people have done.
Yeah. So we get to the vote and it's going to be looking like it's definitely going to be Nelson. I don't know if we have like a clear picture of who the female vote is going to be between like the weaker.
I think it was between Anissa and Brittany, right? Like, that's the way the girls were leaning.
Yeah, well, CT was advocating for Jemmy and Veronica. Kayla was saying, I know where they stand. I don't know where Anissa and Brittany stand. Hunter then puts in a thing for Brittany that he doesn't want to vote against her. And that's all we get from the women. Nelson's out of the house. I wish we were told that after the votes are, like, I want cast the votes and then TJ to say, well, Nelson's not here. I don't know why you voted for him. Jordan, you're going in with one vote.
Yeah. It's like a bizarre, like, immunity idol.
I would have loved that. Like, TJ being like, I don't see Nelson here. Like, I could see him being like, you know, and like, vote stand.
Who's this Nelson cat?
I would have loved that. What do you think's going to happen now, next week, with Nelson off the table?
I mean, it, unless they like talked about like a backup plan beforehand, it seemed like the only other person discussed was Jordan. And I don't know, like, who else they would even look to. I mean, I guess they could just toss in Dario as like just like is like he's the other person that's kind of on the outs with a lot of them. So maybe they'll go with him.
Who did TJ ask to vote first? He said that at the end of the episode, but I missed.
I think it was CT.
Yeah, I think CT is going to vote Dario because that's what he had been saying the whole episode, and like we're like without a Redemption House, we're like within striking distance of having the majority male alliance having to turn against themselves, and I don't think Jordan's going to be the first one out of CT's mouth, and certainly not now.
Yeah, I think with Dario still on. Unless they really have no backup plan and CT is just like, I don't know, I guess I'll just do what Hunter wants and do Jordan. But I think that's a pretty slim possibility.
And CT has really been taking control of like this deliberations. I think he's going to say Dario and the women are going to follow on that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Nelson's actually getting kicked off this season? Randy Neupel says, can we finally be done with Nelson?
No, I wouldn't mind Nelson coming back. I think he probably deserved to get kicked off. I think at a certain point, people have to get kicked off for doing shit. So I think I'm fine with him getting kicked off. But I would be fine with him coming back. I think he brings enough to the table.
Yeah, I think MTV sends a weird message when you get kicked off for this, but not for Camilla's actions. But I think he should have been kicked off. And I think Camilla should have been kicked off. And I think Nelson is probably in a better position even to come back now than he was before, because now he has beef with Derek. Who has beef with Derek K than anyone else? Now that is a rival season I wouldn't mind seeing.
I mean, we actually haven't had a rivals in like two seasons, so we'll probably do for it soon.
Derek K and Nelson, I'm in for that, because what an interesting pair of like allegiance to bananas and enemy of bananas and some real drama that's completely surmountable. Like you hit him in the face, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. And we don't condone it, but it wasn't based off of anything. And it seems like from social media, like they're not pissed about it.
And, you know, this is how, you know, they were always people were asking, like last year, was like, why do people keep jumping over to the banana side? Nelson pairs with Derek. Derek brings him to the banana side. Two seasons later, Nelson is ride or die for bananas. Like, that's just the way these things go.
I even think without this, they're on their way to being on banana's side. Because soon enough, it's only going to be, you know, we're not going to have this whole big group. And Nelson isn't going to have as many bananas anti-loyalists as he even had this season and couldn't get that off the ground. And they're going to start talking off air and everyone's going to be chummy and friendly. Yeah. And Hunter's already almost in the bananas camp now that Nelson's gone. Assuming they don't if Hunter wins the next few challenges, Hunter's like building a bed for himself, like right next to bananas.
Yeah, the banana boat just keeps growling.
All right, so Chris Hickey says, we haven't talked about this. Any predictions for the top three and their placements? I know this seems so far away, but we need something to look forward to. Any shots to call?
I mean, I'll call a Leroy win just because I think they've done such a like a big job like building up that I really, really hope it's leading toward that. I mean, he actually did very well on like a heights type thing that usually this type of thing he usually struggles in. So I'll call my Leroy shot. Let's put him on the board.
Yeah, you missed that last week, so you're a little late to the game. You don't get to just call that shot as though we didn't talk about that last week.
Well, I'm calling my shot for me.
That's a shot that's been called. I agree. I think Leroy, I'm putting my eggs in Leroy's basket. I think also out of the field, I'm probably going to put CT and Derek up there with him. I know that's kind of crazy because I think Jordan and Bananas are like chomping at the heels of these guys. Wouldn't surprise me to see any combination of those five at the end. I don't think Hunter's going to be able to win out to the point where he doesn't become the easiest target in this group. Now he's officially lost Nelson. So one of these guys left is even going to come back from redemption, whether it's Hunter or not. I don't think it's going to be enough. But for now, I'm going to go with Leroy, CT, and Derek and just keep the faith. I think Tori's going to be finishing in the top three. I don't think she's going to win. I think she's going to be top three. I think Jenna is going to... I just think that I think it's somewhere between Camilla. I would say Camilla and Tori for sure, with a potential for Kara and or Jenna in that third spot. Just because I just think the majority alliance is going to win out over Brittany. Who else is even in the house? Jemmy, Veronica, like Anissa. I just think this athletic girl squad is going to be able to pull it out.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think there should be some good, whenever we get these eliminations, I think down the stretch when there's like six, five people up, I think there'll be some pretty intriguing matchups that could go either way. So whenever we get there, I'm into it. When do you think we're finally going to get the message that they're playing for $1 million?
When are we going to get the second purge?
When are we getting the third redemption house? There's still so much stuff.
No, but like the purge has been teased. Like,
I know.
I don't know. I'm still not convinced. I know it's crazy. I know it's crazy because I know Jemmy said like they're going right to the redemption house and that got aired for a reason. I'm still not convinced that we're going to get it.
I hope not. I'm hoping that maybe when they go to like a challenge and they're thinking it's a redemption house and then it's like, boom, like actually like 8 of you are going home.
Great. Perfect.
I mean, we should know next week. I mean, I assume this elimination will take place next week, and then we'll get to see if they go to a redemption house or go home. So hopefully we'll get a resolution there. And then maybe 2 weeks after that, it'll be the purge. So.
And that would be interesting. I mean, next week we have this interesting twist where the winners of the challenge are just going to be able to send someone home cold, which does seem like teed up for a redemption house kind of story. Like you didn't get a real elimination, you're back. We'll see.
Plus, then you can get the, who are you looking to go after? Well, this person literally sent me home, so I'll go after them.
I wonder what Marie wrote in the guest book.
Marie.
Style Z was upset at me last week. He wanted me to plug that the No Quitters podcast also had an interview with Ammo, which Style Z reports. He was very critical of the Real World's production and spilled a lot of tea about people from his season and speculated about why Dion has not been cast on the challenge. So that comes recommended by Style Z. And I'm going to count this as a correction department from Johnny from last week because he listened and said it was a must listen. So there you go.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very good.
Oh, well, can you tell us what actually happened then?
I actually don't even remember that. I know they discussed Dion, but I don't.
That's the one thing I wanted to know, Brian.
I don't remember them like his like theories about why he's not. I think maybe because he was like difficult production, but I don't actually remember. I mean, this is a few weeks ago. My memory is very bad.
Style Z, if you want to co-host the show or just host it, Brian and I will both quit. Just kidding. So a couple of things for social media, kind of light today. Thank you to our digital communications manager who No Rest for the Weary is not feeling so great. Still sent us some stuff. So thank you, Megan Elizabeth. Brittany Nicole, that's her handle, Brittany, has been calling Derek daddy a lot in tweets, which I'm feeling like meh about. The challenge tweeted like a meme of her saying like it's kind of really hot about the lift, the Jenna lift. And she wrote to daddy at Derek MTV, hard eye emoji, devil emoji, kiss emoji, cheers emojis. And Derek wrote, wow, wasn't expecting that one, Brit, smile emoji. Okay, just like let's stop calling him daddy. It's freaking me out.
I can imagine Derek having like no idea how to use social media. He's like, what are these like little faces that you're including in these tweets? What are those things?
Age is just a number, Derek. Brian, Derek used an emoji in his tweet.
By the way, quick update.
Sure.
I think Heineken is the drink responsibly label that was.
Okay, fantastic.
I know people wanted to know.
Kayla, I'm not doubting it, but I just feel like I've seen it on more than that.
It's possible, but I think that's where I think of it.
Kayla said, I'm not watching tonight, which always, you know, that always grinds my gears. You're on the show. It's not like, let's not act above it when you're like, I'm not even watching tonight, but like, watch your own damn show. If we should be watching it, you should be watching it.
Yeah, I really want people to do that all the time, too. It's like, oh, well, I'm living my life. That's what I'm doing. It's like, oh, you know what? Go screw yourself.
Yeah. So she says, I'm not watching tonight, but I heard Brittany went in on me. I never talk shit about her in my interviews because I forget she was there. Not bad. Hunter said something, and Nelson said, brother, don't be sorry. I take full responsibility for my own actions. We live, we learn, Brava. And we grow from our mistakes.
Brava. See another life, brava.
And then Hunter said, I am highly intoxicated, serious breakup, coming back into the game. I celebrated too hard. It happens. I'll learn. Again, no apologies from either of these men for their actions. Just that they'll learn and they live. So just, you know, get over it. Last thing, because we got questions about it. Did you happen to check out 90s House?
I was going to, and then I realized it was on a freaking 11 o'clock, and that is just, like, way past my bedtime.
It didn't directly follow the challenge?
Yeah, so it was on at 11 o'clock.
Oh, they moved it back. Right, right, right. Yeah, I was watching maybe the first half of it before we jumped on the podcast. I need to know where they found these people, because the casting of these people are so freaking ridiculous. You have a guy who named himself Prince because he's like royalty. You have somebody who cites that they're unemployed and she's Steph Curry's cousin and like they've helped her out. But like now she needs to make her own money. I'm like, Steph Curry doesn't know who you are, because like, you know how when they say like somebody knows somebody else, you usually like they cut to pictures of them together. Like there was a picture, they just showed pictures of Steph Curry alone. Like if you are his cousin and you've seen him in real life, send me a photo of the two of you together.
Maybe they know each other because like she went to like two games last year and they were like doing the same thing for two nights.
Allegedly, she's financially supported by Steph Curry. And one thing, Lance Bass and Christina Milian are the hosts. And Lance Bass is like very seriously overacting and it's like kind of annoying. But they made them all wear 90s clothes. It's super fun. It's super colorful. It's very funny. The challenges are like little RuPaul's Drag Race-esque. Like the first challenge is they have to make an opening number to a 90s sitcom, like a Boy Meets World or forget what else they cited. Saved by the Bell, maybe. Oh, Fresh Prince, they said. So that's fun. I don't know that it's going to be appointment viewing for me, but I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I might check it out. Maybe I'll just add it to the DVR list and crank them out on a weekend or something.
That's kind of what it seems like. Like, definitely you're not waiting for commercials on this.
No, definitely not.
That's all I have now. I'm done.
You can add more reviews at Rob at a website. Rob has the...
I hope that's not a Jemmy premonition.
Not that says Rob has website.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at @ColinBryan_, and they can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 12. Until then, have a good one.